We have two scripture readings today. The first one is from Genesis 33, 18 through 20. After Jacob came from Paddan Aram, northwest Mesopotamia, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. Then he set up an altar and called it El Elohi Israel, which means mighty is the God of Israel. Our New Testament scripture is from John 4, 3 through 42. Jesus left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, as has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with the woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman came back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." "Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. they are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world."
Welcome. Would you like a drink of water? Don't worry, I won't be offended if you don't want to accept a drink from me, a Samaritan woman. In fact, not long ago, I wouldn't have offered. After all, Jews don't use dishes that Samaritans have used. But that was before Jesus gave me living water. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Why don't you refresh yourselves here at Jacob's Well, and I'll tell you the story. This well, by the way, when I say Jacob's Well, I mean that quite literally. It was dug by our ancestor Jacob, the son of Abraham. The book of Genesis tells how Jacob purchased a piece of land near the city of Shechem, and he set up an altar there, and he called it El Elohe Israel. God is the God of Israel. Mighty is the God of Israel. Jacob dug a well there, this well, and it's been used for generations upon generations. Jacob's son Joseph is buried in a tomb just over that way. I am descended from Joseph's son, Manasseh. The cities of Shechem and Sychar and this well and that tomb, all of them are in the land that used to belong to the tribe of Manasseh. Do you ever just look around the land and think about your ancestors who farmed here? Abraham pitched his tent under the oaks of Mamre, just beyond Shechem over that way. Do you ever look around and think about your sons who may one day make their living from this land? I have a son, Benjamin. He's old enough to gather firewood, but he's much too young to do the work of a man. I would like to see him farm these hills. I'd like to see him go up on Mount Gerizim and worship the one and only God. I want to see him learn to read the books of the law, the holy scriptures, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. These hills have been home to my ancestors for generations. Oh, there have been interruptions, like the years of slavery in Egypt. But Moses led the people back, and we were able to dwell in safety for a while. The city of Shechem and its surrounding lands flourished during the reigns of King David and King Solomon. And then the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom split. King Jeroboam made Shechem the first capital of the northern kingdom. Of course, things didn't always go so well. The Assyrians came, and they conquered the entire northern kingdom. They deported many of its inhabitants to other lands. Some of us were allowed to stay, women and children especially. Foreigners were brought in to resettle the land, people from other lands that had been conquered by the Assyrian Empire. Some of those people married local Israelites. They learned to worship Elohim like we did, except not like we did. Many of them worshiped the Lord, the God of Israel, as one God among many. I don't know how many times I've prayed for God to tell my fellow countrymen there is only one God, El Elohe Israel, the God of Israel. In Genesis 12, verse 3, God told our father Abraham, all peoples will be blessed through you, all peoples on earth. And yet, sometimes it feels like the Jews in and around Jerusalem are holding on to God's blessing for themselves. They say there's only one place where you can properly worship the Lord. They say that's Jerusalem in Judea. I know they believe that, but in my experience, the temple here on Mount Gerizim is where the Lord dwells. Mount Gerizim, not Mount Moriah, is where our father Abraham nearly sacrificed his son Isaac. Mount Gerizim in front of me, and Mount Ebal on the other side of the Shechem Valley, those are the two mountains where Moses commanded the children of Israel to gather when the Lord was bringing them into the Promised Land. And the contrast between the flowing springs of running water on Mount Gerizim and then the rocky and barren land of Mount Ebal, what a contrast between blessings and curses. And Mount Gerizim, with its spring of living running water, has always been a source of blessing. But that's not what I was going to tell you. You need to hear about Jesus, the man who came and offered living water. And I don't mean running water, although that's at first what I thought Jesus was talking about. Jesus told me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Where you worship won't be all that important. God is spirit. God isn't limited to just one time and one place. Jesus said a time is coming, in fact, it has already come, when people who truly worship God will worship in spirit and in truth. Jesus, the prophet who had been teaching in Galilee and to some extent in Judea, Jesus was willing to walk through Samaria instead of around it. Jesus saw me drawing water from Jacob's well in the middle of the day, and Jesus asked me for a drink. I wasn't sure I'd heard him right. Jews don't associate with Samaritans. They certainly don't use cups or vessels that Samaritans have used. And a man asking a woman for a drink at a well, that has possible connotations also. So I said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? And Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Well, living water, I thought he meant running water, like from a river or from the spring that feeds this well. How could Jesus offer me water when he had nothing he could use to draw up water from the well? I admit I was a little sarcastic when I asked him, certainly you are not greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well. Well, as it turns out, although I wasn't immediately willing to believe this, Jesus is greater than our father Jacob. Jesus is the Messiah, the anointed one, who will explain all things when he comes. And he has now come. And he offers a gift of living water, a spring of living, self-replenishing water within ourselves. I don't mean that a single drink from this water will satisfy forever, but this water is a gift from God, and as such, it is everlasting. It is self-renewing. It's a spring of refreshment and life. I didn't fully know what I was asking for when I said to Jesus, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. I'm not sure what I expected. Jesus' response was to say, "Go call your husband and come back." Well, that's a logical thing for him to say, but I don't have a husband. I used to. I was first married when I was 13 to a man more than twice my age. He died of a heart attack 2 years later. So I moved back to my parents' house, and Father found another husband for me. This time, though, my husband divorced me. I had 2 miscarriages and a child who was born too early to survive. My husband wanted a wife who could give him healthy sons. I was still quite attractive, enough so that my father was able to find me a third husband. I had another miscarriage, but then I had a son who lived, and my precious Benjamin is now 8 years old. His father, though, was killed in a building accident when Benji was just a baby. Do you really want to hear all this? I've been married 5 times, widowed 3 times, divorced twice. My parents are both dead now, so my son and I live with my older brother, Asher. And Asher will support us until Benjamin is old enough to care for me. My brother, unlike my fourth husband, my brother tolerates my unwomanly fascination with Scripture and the way that I long to worship the Lord myself rather than having the man responsible for me present offerings on my behalf. Asher isn't looking for a husband for me. 2 or 3 marriages isn't all that uncommon for a woman who doesn't die in childbirth, but 5 seems excessive. Not a lot of men want a wife who has been married 5 times before. Anyway, when Jesus said, "Go call your husband and come back," well, the simplest thing to say was just, "I have no husband." You can imagine my amazement when Jesus said to me, "You are right when you say you have no husband." And then he told me about my entire adult life and all of the marriages in it. That's what convinced me that Jesus was a prophet. So I asked him about Mount Gerizim and Jerusalem and where one should properly worship the Lord. I wasn't sure what he meant by worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, but I wanted to know more. I said, "When the Messiah comes, he will explain everything." And then Jesus said something that floored me. He said, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then a number of men came up to Jesus, his disciples from the look of it. He's a traveling teacher with a group of men who follow him and learn from him. He's a traveling prophet. He's the Messiah. What was I doing just standing there? I needed to tell my brother and sister-in-law. I ought to tell the other people in town. I should have them come and listen for themselves. I phrased it as a question. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Really, though, I was convinced. The Messiah, sent from God, was resting beside Jacob's well, just outside of our town of Sychar. My family and our neighbors and other townsfolk left the town and hurried back with me to Jacob's well. They invited Jesus and his followers to stay among us, which, by the way, is something no self-respecting Jew would have done, but Jesus did. He stayed in our town for 2 days, and he told us about God, who is spirit, and he offered us God's living water. Many of the townspeople had initially believed in Jesus because of what I had told them, but by the time Jesus left our town to continue on his way northward, they believed because they had heard for themselves. They knew that Jesus is the Savior of the world. They knew that the fullness of God's gifts is no longer limited to 1 or 2 places. God's grace doesn't have to be mediated by rituals or symbols anymore. And this is truly amazing to me. All the true worshipers of God, of the Lord are being brought together into one fellowship. Have you encountered the living water, the gift from Jesus? Do you continue to drink from it? Have you also found that you can worship the Lord whenever and wherever you want? What's that you say? You'd like a cup of water? And also water to refill your water skins? Gladly. My water jar is full. Help yourselves. And perhaps you'd like to come to my brother's house and have some lunch? We can talk more there about the living water from Jesus. Excellent. I am glad you stopped by Jacob's well today.